Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Tuesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to 106.7 The Fan. We will take you all the way up to 6:30 today. Looking forward to talking to our guy, Austin Eckler. He joins us in 3 hours for our weekly appointment presented by IT Cadre, 5 p.m. Eckler provides trusted insight. We got to get to the bottom of what's going on with this offense. Who better to ask than a running back who had a 2-touchdown game very recently?
Yeah, a guy who had a hell of a game this past Thursday. Seems like ancient history as a full weekend of football, concluding last night with Dallas coming in second, has taken place. But can't wait to catch up with Austin at 5.
He's good. If you haven't heard the interview with him this season, you're going to want to. He is getting rave reviews. That's 5 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny. We've got Caps tickets for you at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz. That is 2 hours from right now. And it is Tuesday, which means Commanders Survivor. You're going to go to Facebook.com/Grant and Danny to vote. We've been doing this since Survivor was a popular TV show. That's how you know that the segment's slightly dated, is that we still play Commander Survivor this many years later. You're going to boot a player off the island who you thought didn't play very well this past week. And you're going to give a player immunity and keep them around until at least week 13. And we've now whittled the field down. We start with 18 players. We have cut that in half, Danny. It's starting to get tight. Go vote Facebook.com/Grant and Danny.
It's basically been, if you miss a game, you're out. And if you didn't play great, despite what's what deposits have been in your bank, so to speak, you're out. This is now getting to the nitty gritty here. It used to be between John Allen and Terry McLaurin. Well, that landscape's already changed with Allen out for the season. So there are more worthy candidates this go around.
So there are two massive news items today in DC sports. And this is your ultimate good news, bad news day, as far as I'm concerned. Because there is something happening in DC sports today that gives me great pride and excitement and hope, and that I am, if I could use the word giddy, can I use the word giddy?
I'll allow it.
I am giddy about. And that is the fact that a bill giving DC the long-term control of the RFK site for potential new stadium for the Washington Commanders in the nation's capital has passed a Senate committee, and it is now on to what is a final step for DC to get this land so that a stadium could possibly be built as RFK 2.0. This should be a celebratory, everyone high fives and hugs and kisses each other kind of day in this city. But I can't get there.
Nope.
I don't have that energy.
I'm a womp womp today, dude.
Today's rough for your boy. And it has been since the moment I woke up, because like many of you last night, I stayed up watching the Caps and the Utah Hockey Club, because Alex Ovechkin, a day after a hat trick, scored in the first period, and he scored in the second period, and we were on Hattie watch again with a guy who's hotter than a fireplace, with a guy who's got 5 goals over 2 games and 6 goals over 5 games and 13 goals over 11 games. He is off to, this is statistical, this is not my opinion, one of the two best goal-scoring starts of his 20-year career. 18 games, 15 goals for the grade 8. And Danny, last night in the third period, with the excellent Capitals, number 1 in the Eastern Conference in points right now, 3 points back of the best point total of all the teams in the National Hockey League, they've been incredible. Ovi hunting a hat trick, skating around on the ice, gets collided with, and I thought something...
Pretty innocuous.
It looked like a nothing burger.
Yeah.
He's gotten hit that way how many dozens and dozens of times in his career? He goes to the ice, very rare. He stays on the ice. He ends up getting helped off the ice. That never happens with the Russian machine. And then he ends up getting escorted back to the room. And that's when you knew something's not right. We're still waiting to find out what's wrong with Alex Ovechkin officially, although it's hockey, so we could never find out. Like 6 years from now, we'll still wonder, is he hurt? Does he have a hamstring, or is it an ankle, or is it a knee?
Look, if he had his foot amputated last night, they'd go, it's a lower body injury, day to day. Okay. So we'll get no information. Yeah, I don't mean to be flippant about it. Like, it could be incredibly serious. It could be a bruise. We don't really know. I mean, they're saying week to week.
It's so true, though. If he lost a leg last night, the Caps were going to report today that he's week to week with some type of
lower ailment. Body injury.
Right? I mean, that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
But they did come out and say week to week, and so now we wait. I can't tell you how down I feel about this. If he misses 4 to 6 weeks with an MCL or something like that, I'd be crestfallen, and that's terrible. But at least the chase is back on. And more importantly, because the Caps are really, really, really good, then he comes back in a month, 6 weeks, and they have a chance to navigate the Eastern Conference and be a legitimate contender come the playoffs. If it's worse than that, and I don't even want to really speculate, but you're talking about...
Yeah, well, think about what's on the table if it's worse.
Short term, their chances in the East and in the playoffs drop off massively because their leading goal scorer, who happens to be leading the NHL in goals right now, at 39 years old. He was born in 1985. I think Reagan was the president. Was Reagan the president?
Yes, he was, yes.
Ronald Reagan was the president. He was born then.
It's where Marty was trying to get back to when he was in 1955. That's how long ago that was.
That's very long ago.
It's so long ago.
He's so old.
Yes.
Leading the NHL in goals. And they're not going to have him for some period of time. At least, it seems like a few weeks and maybe worse. So the news is terrible in that. When's the last time the Caps have been this good? Legitimately. Post-Cup, have they been this good?
No.
I think you've got to go back. I don't even
not
know
close.
If the Cup team, I felt
well,
this.
Well, remember, why am I blanking on his name? Barry Trotz was going to get fired.
At Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they're like, if they don't play well against Minnesota, his ass is grass.
No. So, Obama style. Let me be clear. What I'm saying is not that they got off to this kind of start back then. I'm just saying they were this good at their peak during that Cup run. But it's been fleeting in stretches that they've played at this level. This is the best Caps team to start a year that I've seen in over a decade. I mean, they're excellent. They do everything well. They've scored the most goals in the NHL right now, playing fewer games than almost everybody else. Last year at this time, through 18 games, they'd scored 44 goals. Right now, they've scored 78 goals this year. It's night and day from a year ago. They're better on every line. They're better on every D pair. They're better in the net. Logan Thompson's been tremendous. And if Ovi's not there, your number one goal scorer, and your top line, which has been elite, Ovi, who's a plus 15, I think it is now on the season, the team takes a step back. That's annoying. That's disheartening. But that's not even the lead here.
That's not the lead.
The lead is, if you go back to last night, the story around the country, the story for anyone who follows hockey on every outlet was, oh my goodness. Not only is this guy going to break the record, he might do it in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, he was at 800 miles an hour. Oh, there's Gretzky. Oh, see you later.
Zipping by.
Right.
Just straight Ferrari style. He was going to do it in January at this pace. Now, he'll slow down, but things will happen. But you could see the groove that he's in.
But if this is serious,
yeah,
depending on what we're talking about here, if he's not playing again this season,
like, that's on the table, by the way.
If you come back next season and there is, you know, a major injury you're coming back from, right? All of a sudden, it was a Craig Lachlan. It was a Yaroslav Halak. It was a absolute certainty that he was going to break this record. Now there's questions. And all those things just have me struggling today.
Just, it's fleeting. And a couple things came to mind. As I'm sitting there contemplating my thoughts, while he does that quick little lap coming back on the ice and then shuts it down immediately. Right, I'm going, oh, maybe it was a bad bruise, because everybody's done that. Everyone's had that thing where they knock knees with somebody and that guy's fine and you get the worst of it and you go down and it's like, oh my God, I will never walk again. And then after a little while, you're fine and you get your legs underneath and you're okay. I'm hoping maybe it's that, because the contact wasn't too severe, to your point. When he came back out for that little skate lap and then said, that's it, I'm now doing big picture contemplation, right? It shows you how, well, another reason, it's another reminder how impossible this record is. Not only does Wayne Gretzky score in a different era, and he's the greatest player of all time. I'm not taking anything away from Wayne Gretzky.
Not but, the greatest goal scorer of all time.
Oh, thank you.
That guy's name is Alex Ovechkin.
Yeah, it just shows you like how fragile that is, right? I mean, Ovi would have already broken it had he not had multiple labor stoppages, a couple suspensions that were probably bogus, COVID years shutting things down. I mean, he's right there at the pace. We'd probably have 900 right around now, right?
I can't. I'm so selfish making this about myself.
No, I know, but that's all I'm thinking too.
I bet Ovi's a little bit bummed out too today, if I had to guess.
He might be down.
But respectfully, myself, about me here.
Can you think about my fandom?
I can't deal with a possibility that he doesn't get this record. And it's not time to necessarily talk about that yet. But in a world where he got screwed out of the pandemic games, he got screwed out of work stoppages multiple times over. You know, you're talking about leaving how many games on the ice? 120?
Close to 100, 120.
Game. I mean, at his pace, to your point, he'd be way past Gretzky already. He'd be creeping up on 960, 900, I don't know, 950 goals, 970 or something. I can't even wrap my head around it. But how sports was that last night?
Yep.
Like, sports are such a emotional roller coaster. Sometimes they're the best.
Yeah, it is an unforgiving, it's like nature. That's beautiful. Oh, crap, a tidal wave. Like, but same thing, same force. Nature's beautiful. Look at Yosemite. Look at this forest. Look at the woodlands. Oh my God! Here's a natural forest fire. Like that's what that was.
I went up to bed last night, and my wife gets so mad. I always wake her up to tell her what happened, as if she cares, and she does not.
She's asleep.
I mean, she's a big Ovi fan. She's a big Caps fan.
But while sleeping,
we have three young kids.
Yeah,
she really wants to sleep.
Yeah,
but I have to talk to someone.
Yeah,
is it going to be you or is
no,
it going to be someone else?
It's got to be her.
It's got to be you.
No, she did the vows, man.
That's right.
Part of it.
It was like,
I didn't
for
marry
better,
you.
Worse, or after the big Ovi moment.
Yeah, we just do the common law at work thing.
Yeah.
Like, it shuts off.
I thought about coming to your house, but no, I thought your wife would be really annoyed.
She'd be so pissed.
Just walk into your bed. Walk into your room. I'm like, Danny. Psst. Danny, you there?
What do you think about Ovi?
So I wake her up, and I'm like, Ovi scored 2 goals tonight. And she's like, you're kidding. I said, no. She's like, he's going to break the record next week. And I was like, he got hurt. And she said, and I quote, Ovi doesn't get hurt.
Mm.
And I said, I know.
I know.
And that was the only thing, putting my little head on my little pillow last night, that got me to bed, was I said, Russian machine don't break. He can't be hurt. I know that it doesn't sound good or look good, but not my Ovi, not him. Think about this. Every year that guy plays in, like, if he gets suspended because he hits someone for a couple of games, or maybe Bruce Boudreau sits him for a game because he's overslept his alarm clock or something. He might miss a game here or there, right? If the Caps are playing, Ovi plays for 20 years running. I need good news, and I need it right now. Caps, do what you got to do. If I could give him my knee, I'll give you my leg.
Take it. Here we go.
His leg won't help him.
Put me on the chopping block like in the movie Misery.
Right.
Right? Take mine. There's a moment in The Matrix where one of the characters knows that it's over, and she just looks
what's over.
It's for her. She knows she's done.
Death. And
she, yeah. Okay. Well, basically, like, this is the end. And she just turns to no one in particular and says, not like this. Not like this.
Yeah.
Before the plug gets pulled and she's donezo. Not like this. Not like this is what I'm saying. I can't have it be he doesn't get the record because his ACL exploded.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot do that.
We should not speculate.
I'm not speculating. I can't do that.
But here are a couple of things I do want to at least acknowledge, okay? Number one, the people that I have asked about this, no one has definitively said they know what's going on. But the general vibe I got was from people that were there or saw him get on the bus, it was not pretty. Like, he was not moving well. I heard that the room, meaning the dressing room, the locker room last night, was very somber. And that's after a win, 3 straight wins on this road trip, 3-0,
mm-hmm.
6 points, 6 goals, 5 goals, 5 goals. They outscored their opponent 16-6. And basically, it was like pin drop, kind of ugly in the dressing room. And I even heard from today, someone goes, I hope the news is better when they get back and really evaluate this thing than the fear, essentially. So, like, that's what I'm working with now going, this is not what I wanted to hear. The team coming out today, though, the first update we got and saying week to week, does feel positive. It gives me the opportunity, if I choose to be optimistic, to say If he's out for the year and they're fearing that, they wouldn't come out and say week to week, would they? But then that little voice in the back of my head goes, it's hockey, man.
Yeah, it's hockey.
You could shoot someone in the face and they'd be like,
upper body.
He's got a little thing going on. And he might miss a shift or two.
He's day to day.
And then, like, you just with never see him again.
Yeah.
You know, like, never again. Do you
Tom,
see him?
Yeah, the one I go back to is Tom Wilson was day to day with a torn ACL.
So think about that. That was the playoffs.
Yeah.
What year was that? That was the year after the Cup? Or 2 years,
was it,
maybe?
Was it 19, 20, 21?
Warren Fogle ruined everything by hurting Oshie the year after the Cup, so I think it would have been 2 years after the Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, we knew.
Yep.
Behind the scenes, someone had told me Tom Wilson tore his ACL. And we said on the show, I couldn't get it confirmed, and that's one of those things, unless the team is willing or somebody around the player is willing to say, you're right, that you're just, I'm not going to go out and say that outright. So we had to do some tap dancing, because, again, it's hockey, and they just refuse to get in line with all the other sports on injuries. It's actually a thing that we should talk about.
Yep.
It's ridiculous that they aren't more forthcoming with injuries in that sport in 2024. But they kept doing the thing where Wilson was day-to-day. And it's like, well, he's not playing. It's game two. No Tom Wilson tonight. Yeah, no kidding. He tore his ACL. Game three, we'll see if he plays. Bet you he won't. Game three, still no Tom Wilson tonight. Yep,
he's working his way back from the torn ACL.
He just did that the entire series.
Yeah.
And everyone, like, the beat was like, you know, all the reporters and stuff was like, Tom Wilson's not out there for skate this morning. Yep, because he tore his ACL.
Because you can't skate on a torn ACL.
So it's like, and I'm not suggesting that's what Ovi did. What I am saying, though, is does the week-to-week designation make you feel better? It does for me. Okay. But I also know that in that sport, words don't really matter.
Yeah, we're all processing this. We're all doing our best here. For me, it does not. It doesn't make me feel better. The only thing will be the official word, if it's good, bad, and different, like knowing. But them going week to week, shift to shift, day to day, hour to hour, cue the Ron Burgundy, I don't believe you. Like, I don't. Like, this is not the sport of forthcoming. Like, they do not want to share the information.
I think what's so zany about this, though, is if you would have suggested a couple months ago that the day we find out, November 19th, at I think it was 17-2 clip, that the DC RFK site momentum is real and that this vote went through and passed the Senate committee, it would have been a really celebratory, awesome like day. And I don't think that should be lost in the shuffle here. We got to be able to multitask a little bit because this is a significant thing. I talked to somebody with the Commanders today who told me that they feel really good. They said this was the harder hurdle. They think that this next step, which is that the Democratic majority leader has to give a bill hearing on the floor, and then before the session ends in December, they need to have a vote. I think it's right around December 28th, 29th. If that happens, then D.C. gets the land. And if not, you got to wait several months, and maybe you decide, we're not waiting until next year. We're going to move forward with Maryland. So there's one more hurdle. But at least according to the person I talked to, who's got some pretty good knowledge on everything going on, they suggested this was the bigger deal. This was the harder thing because of the Steve Daines holdout and all of the...
Yeah, now it's a logistical challenge. So yes. The my understanding, reading a lot about it, is there's not going to be a standalone... Because we care a lot here in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, but there are 48 states that don't give a bleep. They don't care at all. This is small potatoes next to, like, funding the government and, you know, the huge stuff that has to get done before this session ends. And there's only a handful of days left of the actual legislative session of the folks that work on Capitol Hill. So it's got to be included in another bill. So as long as everybody's on board with it, then it's like, let's say the grant omnibus spending bill, I'm over here sponsoring this legislation. It's a rider. It's not a JR rider. It's an Isaiah rider. I'm going to insert that into your bill. And if the whole bill gets passed, then my little rider gets passed too. Huge deal for us, less for like someone in Kansas or whatever. But that's the way it has to happen. But it's just a finite amount of time. The delaying that took place because of Daines and others who objected or wanted certain things met really put this to the 11th hour.
Here's where I want to open up the phones and kind of start with you guys today on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Do you find yourself more nervous about awaiting Ovi news or more excited about RFK 2.0 news today? Like, what is your lead? In the newsroom that is your head and your emotions, what do you find yourself caring more about? Because you got two very different things going on in D.C. sports today. Oh, by the way, the Commanders play the Cowboys on Sunday. Dallas on a short week after suffering some injuries and getting blown out on Monday Night Football. Dallas is terrible.
They're so bad.
The Cowboys are so bad.
Oh, I feel bad.
Oh, I feel bad about the schedule.
It's tough.
Where they have a short week and Washington played on Thursday.
Oh, they're going to travel too. Oh, that's man. Tough. Bummer.
So that game's on Sunday in Landover, Maryland. But what is your lead today? Ovechkin or the RFK development? 800-636-1067 is the number. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Washington side, you'd say way too many power plays from the side here of Alex Ovechkin going down and getting hit here at center ice and got tripped up.
That's not good.
Oh, boy. He got what looked like just a little bit of a clip on the way by and now is down up on hands and knees but still has not gotten up yet. Alex Ovechkin, as Jason Service has come out to take a look, and Ovechkin hobbled as he comes toward the bench. Now he's up on his own power, but he needs a little help.
He ran in. Let's see if we can get a replay here.
John Walton, as heard right here on 106.7 The Fan last night with Ken Sabrin. That was our play-by-play of Caps Hockey. We're your flagship home for the Caps. They are the number one team in the East. They are on absolute fire. And a big reason for that is that Alex Ovechkin is in fuego. I mean, he is the number one goal scorer in the National Hockey League right now. After 5 goals in his last 2 games, he's sitting, Danny, atop the Caps and atop the NHL.
Number one, man.
39 years old. And on the precipice of maybe hat trick number 32 and 2-2 nights last night, early in the third period with a goal in each of the first 2 stanzas, he goes down. You heard it right there. And he would not return. And we now await word. I don't think we're going to get anything else, by the way. The Caps came out and said week to week. They don't have to really speak again until tomorrow's practice. So that'll be the next update. But I wonder, are they going to come out? And Ovi, who's got 2 more goals than anyone else, by the way. No one else in the league has more than 13 goals. He's got 15. Are they going to come out and just say, this is exactly what's happening. This is the timeline, which is an anti-hockey thing. Or are they just going to stick with week to week? And my fear is, we've heard what we're going to hear. I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, that's what I'm counting on, to be honest with you. And if we get information, I'll be surprised. But I think it's going to be a little while, or even when they have the information, they're not going to share it. We'll find out maybe after the fact if and when he undergoes surgery or something like that. I'm not trying to be flippant about it. I'm not speculating. But I just don't think the sharing is part of the DNA of this league. I find it outrageous. And mostly now it's really, most days I don't wake up irritated about it, because it doesn't directly affect me. This one does. You know what I mean? Like, I want information. It should be delineated to fans. And especially, if there's gambling involved or season tickets involved, financial decisions are coming here from fans, and buy-in is part of this thing. You should be able to be forthcoming and forthright with fans. But anyway, that's what's dominating for me. Like, if the discussion is what's more important, this, OV injury or this huge intermediary step to eventually, have control of the land, be in D.C., eventually then maybe the city council gets their butt together, then eventually there's a negotiation, eventually there's a stadium. That's nice. I've had the rug pulled on me too many times for me to say, yay, spike the football, it's done. It's Ovi. That's all I can think about.
Today is the furthest down the field we've ever been, though.
Of course,
if
yes.
The goal line is stadium in D.C. at the RFK site. I was told by somebody with the team that today was the hardest step and that they're feeling really good about what's next. But what is dominating your emotions? Is it the Ovi angst, or is it the excitement for a possible stadium in D.C. Let's go to Sean in Falls Church. 800-636-1067 is the number. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. Thanks again for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
There. I'd love to tell you that it's the stadium possibly coming in. You know, I mean, you can, give yourself a round of applause. You can, you know, if you will, give yourself a round of sausage. I think that
treat yourself a round of sausage.
Treat yourself
yeah.
Thank you. Thank a you. Round of sausage.
You can do that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. It's too far away. It's too many steps until then, and the possibility of it's got to be Ovi. I mean, the way that he was on the ice and people helped him up, that just doesn't happen. Him taking the lap
so true.
And then coming back in and just never coming back on, that doesn't happen. It's the week to week that tells you it might be something serious, and that's where I'm kind of sitting in. I'm playing fantasy hockey. He's on my team, and so, yeah, I'm in that kind of what's going to happen.
That wildly popular fan site that is the most perfectly named site ever that does a great job covering the Caps, Russian Machine Never Breaks, said it best. I mean, he just doesn't stay down. He doesn't get hurt. He delivers the blow.
Mm-hmm.
As Bruce Boudreaux said post-game last night, Gabby mentioned this, there have been so many times where he got hit like that, knee to knee, leg to leg, and the other guy
went down.
Somehow got hurt. I mean, the fact that it was Ovi, and it looked innocuous, and it was kind of hesitant. After I thought maybe he was like selling it even a little bit to maybe draw a call or whatever. Like, it was just so crazy to me that he could possibly crumble to the ice and then not get right up and then not be able to put weight on his skate. And you guys get it. I don't have to further explain it. But the idea that this happened now with the 15 goals in 18 games on the precipice of the record, when everyone is now on the same page and decided, yeah, he's breaking this thing this year. It's going to happen easily. Danny, he's on pace for almost 70 goals.
70 goals.
68 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville. What's up, Chris?
What's up? First of all, I want to apologize to everyone because last night I tweeted that he was on pace for 63 goals, and then he got injured. So there's obviously a direct cause and effect relationship between my tweet and the injury. So I apologize to all of Washington and all Caps fans.
Don't blame yourself, man. Cake said he couldn't get hurt. Literally said that yesterday morning on the radio.
He did not say it yesterday, did he?
He said it yesterday, yeah.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
By the way, he scored again after you said that. Because when he got hurt, he was on pace for 68. So you got it. If you cost him his injury, you also got him his 15th goal. You deserve credit for
that.
Not both.
An even trade, but you deserve a little credit there.
I'm way more concerned about Ovi because only one town, only one team gets to have the greatest goal scorer of all time. Everybody has a stadium. Every city has multiple teams, and they all have arenas and stadiums. We're going to get a stadium. You know, wake me up when they actually break ground and, you know, have the ribbon-cutting ceremony. Then I'll be convinced that they're going to build a new stadium. Until then, it's all noise. I don't care. But only one team gets to one fan group gets declared that they have the NHL's all-time leading goal scorer.
So true.
Good way to put it.
And the chase along the way. You know, the networks, Chris, that are picking up the, you know, like the home run chase from McGuire and Sosa that's coming. I mean, this is going to be must-see TV. It's going to be a several-week celebration of hockey and the Caps and Ovi, not just in D.C., but all over the country, that if, in fact, he's seriously injured, that potentially you're robbed of, like we were robbed of the afterglow of the World Series. And we deserve better, and he deserves better.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it kind of reminds me of, like, when 2020 hit, it just ruined what should have been a celebration for the Nationals. And it took about, 100 games of Juan Soto away from me. So not being able to experience this now with Ovi is more painful than not knowing if we're going to get a stadium or not.
We're at a point, though, I hope the news is he's going to miss a month to 6 weeks.
The best case, is that it's bad.
Yeah, when it first happened last night, I was like, oh, he's got a Charlie Horse, or he got banged up or bruised. Man, I hope he's on the ice in a couple of nights when I'm doing my next Altcast. That's literally what I was thinking. And then as the night went on, and you hear more and more, and as I've gotten texts from people that are going, this is not good, what I'm hearing is not great, I hope I'm wrong, but dot, dot, dot. Now I'm hoping maybe he'll be back in 4 to 6 weeks. And again, we don't know anything. Week to week could mean that he plays next week and everyone's wrong.
Yeah, that's a week.
And that he really is the machine that doesn't break, and all the doctors and everyone involving and around the team is fearing one thing and something else is the case. Because supposedly they do have to get here and do a lot of the work that they've got to do in evaluating, and they're landing this afternoon. So they don't probably completely know, but I'd say they have a pretty good idea. I would like to think right now they have a pretty good understanding of what's going on in that leg. Let's go to Rich in Newmarket on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Hey, Rich.
So, yeah, Ovi is my big thing, and I'm, like, not ready to jump into the lake yet. I'm a firm believer after watching this guy, you know, the entire span of his career and being a lifelong Caps fan from the beginning, that he's in such freak shape. There's no way he can break. Rush machine never breaks. He's injured. My hope is comes back after the All-Star break, and he doesn't miss a stride. And more importantly, the team is playing so well right now, and the Bears down in Hershey are playing so well that we're able to slide one of the kids in and not miss a step. And maybe we see the next Ovi, Mirznishenko or somebody, Ethan Frank comes up and takes his spot. And when he gets back, he's ready. He's 100%, and we don't miss a stride. And that's my feeling. Thanks guys.
Buddy.
Appreciate you.
I want to agree to that. We don't need to dive into the specifics of the lines yet or the rotation or how to get by without Ovi. But I hope they change as little as possible. Their second line has been marvelous this year. That's McMichael and Wilson and Luke Dubois. He's not scoring goals. He's got one empty netter, but he's got a ton of assists. They've been great. Their third line, they've been trying to fix and get on the same page. They finally added now some center depth with Lars Eller that they feel good about. But I would try to tweak as little as possible. The fourth line's been awesome. Second line's been marvelous. The third line has been inconsistent but seems to be trending. Maybe you call up Mirznishenko and you just tell the kid, you're a top-line wing now, buddy. Go get him.
Yeah, go do it.
And if it doesn't work, go back to the well in a couple of weeks. But I would not just start moving pieces all over the place. And instead of one line being affected, affect, say, three out of the four or something. Let's go to Carlos in Savannah Park. Question is, after the news today that we're one giant step closer to the RFK site being a reality for a stadium, which is very exciting, what's more on your mind? That good news or the bad news that Ovi could be out for an extended period of time?
It's the Ovi that could be out for an extended period of time. And let me say this. The reason why it's week to week is because, and it's pretty obvious, it's because we're waiting for the camels that he rode in Dubai to make land, to touch land on D.C. territory. If you remember last year, he only had 10 goals. He went away to Dubai and rode on some camels and then became on fire. That's the secret to his health, is get the camels from Dubai and make sure that he continues to score and gets better. But in all seriousness, it's all Ovechkin. We have one opportunity for him to put D.C. He already put D.C. sports on the map. But all-time great. Like, Sidney Crosby is going to be considered one of the all-time greats. But this is the all-time goal scorer to be put a rank above the great one. And we will literally have a GOAT. The point that we have a GOAT in D.C., It is incredible. So, yeah, it's Ovechkin. Wake me up when they break ground.
Hockey is not on the level in this country of, say, basketball or whatever, but a goals record is like a home run record.
Yep.
This is not points where no one knows how many. What did LeBron pass Kareem at? Like, nobody knows those numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not hallowed in the same way. It's incredible, but it's not the same.
This is different. And even for the casual Caps hockey Ovi fan, whatever, as we got closer, this was going to become, and hopefully I shouldn't say was, this will become a local, a national story. This is a cut into whatever programming you're doing on major networks kind of story. And you hope that in a few weeks he's back on the ice scoring goals again. More on this as we find out details today as we go. Next, Commanders, Cowboys on Sunday, Dallas on a short week. This is a matchup Washington's absolutely got to win. Let's dive into it next on The Fan.
Second and six. Rush. Ball knocked out of his hand and ends up in the arms of Guyton. He gets it knocked out by Petrie and the return for the touchdown by Derek Barnett.
Last night, the Cowboys lost by 24 in primetime And now on a short week with 5 days to prepare, they're getting back into the office today, licking their wounds, and then they got to travel. I mean, you don't see this really very much in the NFL, if I'm being honest. And I'm glad it's working out this way.
Yeah, and never to them, by the way. They're always like, whatever Jerry wants, you want to stay at home after Thanksgiving and before. Like, they never have to do hard stuff.
Somebody should have some empathy for the Cowboys. I'm just not the guy.
Not me.
But they play on Monday night when their opponent this coming weekend played on Thursday. In and of itself, that's brutal. Then you travel. Oh, by the way, you don't have your starting quarterback. When Dak was healthy, the Cowboys were bad. Without him, they're one of the worst teams in the league. They cannot run the ball. They haven't been able to all year. Rico Dowdle was a backup running back as their starter. Him and Deuce Vaughn were getting carries last night. Their quarterback situation is dreadful. Cooper Rush threw for 350 and, you know, mostly garbage time, but didn't play particularly well while doing it. I think his rating was in the 70s or whatever. Had a touchdown and a pick. They got one player that scares you, and that's CeeDee Lamb, who is very, very good. He's one of the best receivers in football. And I shouldn't say one player. Because
Turpin scares you.
Yeah, Kayvon Turpin, if he touches the football, and he did last night on a 64-yard house call, he could strike up the band. Very, very good. That was, by the way, their touchdown for the game. But this is a bad football team. On the first drive against the Texans, Danny, last night, Houston got the ball. They scored on a 77-yard touchdown that got called back. That was an untouched Nico Collins wide receiver screen. When's the last time you've seen a wide receiver screen go untouched for a touchdown in the NFL? That doesn't happen.
It's been a minute.
Bad sign. A few plays later, after that touchdown got wiped off the board, away from the play, you know, illegal form, guy downfield, basically too far downfield, 44-yard touchdown run by Joe Mixon. He was completely untouched. So two 40-plus yard touchdowns where nobody touched a guy. It was that kind of night for their defense. So if you're looking now at the Cowboys, they've lost five in a row. Since the Dak injury, they've lost 34-6 and 34-10.
Last night was so weird. I don't know how to describe it better than that. Like, they were moving the ball. They were kind of even with Houston, and then, like, some mistake would happen, and then it would get catastrophic, and then the disaster play happened. Do you know what I mean? Like, they ended up with pretty good yardage totals. I know some of it's garbage time, but some of it wasn't. I mean, midway through the second quarter, they had 150 yards, and Troy Aikman commented, they got as many yards right now as they did all of last week. And it's that fatal flaw. It's that, what are you doing? That, you know, that interception or the sack fumble that a lineman tries to move, and then that gets returned for a touchdown. And then you look up, they're down by 30. It's a disaster, but there's still some scary elements there. But they are not good, and it looks like a team that doesn't want to be there anymore. I've seen that before, by the way. I know what that looks like. It's usually reserved for December. Like, you're playing Kansas City in the snow and you're down 45-3 before you blink. That's what it looks like. It looks like everybody is pissed off, despondent, looking for a reason to pack it in. They just don't look happy.
I think they would have been a fringe playoff team if Dak stayed healthy in the NFC. Probably a ceiling of 10-ish wins, maybe 9 wins. Because Mike McCarthy coach teams are never terrible, generally speaking. I know he's like an easy guy to make fun of, and he'll probably get fired, and everybody thinks he's a big, heavy boob. But Mike McCarthy, for the most part, if he's got a healthy starting quarterback, goes into the year and gets his team to somewhere around 10 to 12 wins. I think they would have been on the low end of that or a little below because they're super flawed. They had an awful offseason. I don't think they're that talented. But you take Dak off that roster, there's a reason they pay him $60 million. I'm not telling you he's the best quarterback in the league or top five, but he's in the top 10 probably. He's certainly in the top half of the league. And when you go from him to backups, which is Rush or Trey Lance, it is a significant drop-off. And so a fringe playoff team loses its quarterback, it becomes a bad team. And that's where they are right now. Then you add in short week against a rested opponent with travel, Washington should blow them out.
Spread is 10 and not getting smaller as the weeks progress.
I'll bet you it's going to get bigger now after last night.
I did too.
Because it was 9 when it opened. Then I saw it at 9.5.
I see 10.5 some books.
I was going to say, at one point last night during the game when I looked it up, might have been FanDuel, it was 10.5 points. So I don't know where it is now on FanDuel, but I'll bet you it's 11 before kickoff.
I bet that too.
Yeah. When's the last time Washington was favored by that much, let alone in the division?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you, honestly. I mean,
it feels like too much.
Yeah, and that's kind of my point here is even though the evidence and data supports or says they're terrible, they're going to self-destruct, they're going to implode, they're still a little scary to me, just in this spot. And this is going to go a long way one way or the other here for Washington. Having lost two straight games, now, if you just say, hey, they've lost two straight and aren't playing their best football of late, then you go, okay, well, this is maybe not a tough spot, but a potential letdown spot, or whatever you want to call it. Well, then you go into the nuance, and it's not as if they've been blown out twice. They lost to two really good teams, two of the three best teams on their schedule, in both of those games, leads in the second half of both of those games, and they've handled teams like this. Let me go non-division for a second. Teams they're not familiar with that they don't play twice a year, they have destroyed. Now you go to the Giants, who are inferior, who are bad, and they've had these slugfests with them. I'm a little bit nervous that, you know, Dallas will hang around and CeeDee Lamb can make a play or somebody somewhere. So I'm not supremely overconfident, I will say. Yeah. Washington's better. That's not the debate.
I don't need them to win by a lot, although they should. Here's what I need to happen. They need to win, period. Doesn't matter by how much.
Yeah.
They need to win.
Just handle it.
And they need offensively to get back going again. They need a get-right game. Doesn't have to be the first few weeks of the Cincinnati game where you do historical crazy things, but they need to look a lot more like they did in September offensively and a lot less like they have with Tressway punting 11 times the last couple of weeks. If they can do those two things, win, and their offense gets going again to the point where they put a lot of these storylines about the Kingsbury regression and Daniel's rib and have they been solved and all that to bed for a week, then I'm happy. But there's no excuse, none, to lose to this team right now. They have to win this football game if they're good. And I think we all think they're pretty good. G&D with you on the Fan. Next, we'll kick off our second hour, 1 hour away from giving away those Caps tickets at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz. At 3, right at the top of the hour here, Dan Quinn yesterday said Jaden Daniels is not hurt. You and I have been kicking that around since yesterday. Then what is going on? Because he does not look the same when he moves. He looks a little bit less decisive in the pocket. Do you agree with that premise or not? And if he is fully healthy, if you buy what the head coach is saying, then what gives? We're going to tackle that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.